Mr. Bridger, I have one more question, and one that was just brought up that I hadn't even thought about. What if the corporations went bankrupt because of taxation or something like that?
Well, if the corporation goes bankrupt, then all of its assets, including its land, can be seized by the people that it owes money to. So that's always a risk, in the sense that anybody who's in business to make a profit stands a chance that if things go bad, the corporation could lose money, and if it couldn't pay its bills, then its creditors could move in and take all its assets, including the land. And that's always a danger. That's why in some places we've been, people have said that they want to see the land separate from the corporation, so that even if the corporation goes bankrupt, the people can keep the land.
Separating the shares, the stock in the corporation and the land?
Well, no. Some of the ideas advanced are, for instance, that land would be put in, for instance, that the land would be turned over to a tribal council or IRA government, which would then hold the land. And of course, if it's a tribal government, it can't be taken over by outsiders, can't be taxed, and so on. That's one suggestion about making sure the land stays in native hands, even if the corporation goes bankrupt. Another suggestion that I've urged people to consider is what they're doing in Canada and in some other countries. They set up a trust to hold the land, and the trust consists of all the people in the village, for instance. And when anybody is born, he receives a certificate that shows he's a member of the trust. When he dies, the certificate is canceled, but he can't sell his membership. And the native people hold the land in trust for themselves and for future generations, and it can't be taken over by outsiders. It can't be taxed. Well, those are some of the possibilities. But you should understand, and you put your finger on the point, that even if you get Congress to pass a law saying that no outsiders can even buy shares in your corporation, if you have a law passed saying that non-natives, even if they get shares, can never vote in your corporation, if your corporation goes bankrupt, you can still lose your land that way, because the people you owe money to can take the land because you didn't pay them. And so that's why one of the things that people should think about is not just limiting the sale of shares to make sure the shares don't fall into the wrong hands, but also removing the land from the corporations, so that if the corporations go broke, the people will still keep the land. That's really what it. One of the things you should think about. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Would anybody else like to come up and say a few words or ask a question?
I'd like to ask a question.
Do we have your name again?
June McGlashan.
Right.
What exactly is going to happen in 1991? I mean, what's going to happen with the shares and everything, do you think, do you predict?
Well, the question is what's going to happen in 1991. If there are no changes made in the law, I think that that if a native corporation has some money in its bank account or has some valuable land, you'll find that offers will be made for your shares. If your corporation doesn't have any money and just has a bunch of debts and its land isn't worth anything, I guess nobody's going to come around and make an offer for your shares. But if you've got some money in the bank or some other assets, somebody might try to take over the corporation. Somebody might, as I was saying to Mr. Kelke, somebody might come around and go to the people who've had a bad year fishing and need the money and buy their shares, and then go to some of your shareholders in Anchorage and Seattle and buy their shares, and maybe in a week or two might wind up owning a majority of shares in the corporation. That's one of the things that could happen. And if he wound up owning a majority of shares in the corporation, then he would effectively have control of the corporation, the land, the store, this building, and all the assets.
And at the same time, they're going to have to be taxed?
Well, if taxes are imposed on the land and someone's taken over your corporation, then that's his problem. But if you manage to hang on to your corporation, you may still find that in the 1990s, this isn't going to happen for a while, a property tax might be imposed on native corporation land. Mm-hmm. Right now, your native corporation land can be taxed if it's developed. But after 1991, it can be taxed even when it's not developed. That is, even if it's just sitting there. And the forecasts are that the Alaska state revenues may decline in the 1990s because the oil from Prudhoe Bay will be running out by then, and the state might start looking around for other sources of revenue, and they might say, well, we should tax private land. And 99% of all the private land in the state is held by native corporations. So that's another problem. Now, I really want to know whether Native people wish, above all, to hold on to their land. If they do, then I will make recommendations about how to ensure that you do hang on to your land. Whether it's changes in the corporate structure, turning the land over to IRA governments or tribal councils, or turning the land over to trusts that would then lease it back to the corporations so they could then stay in business and continue to engage in money-making activity. But you asked me to predict what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
I've given you the worst things that could happen, I guess.
What's the best things then?
Well, looked at it another way, if somebody's had a bad season fishing and his fish boat is burned or he needs a new engine, and somebody comes along and gives him $10,000 for his shares, maybe he thinks that's one of the best things that could happen. I mean, some people say, well, this is America, and when you have shares, you should be able to sell them and buy yourself a boat, or buy shares in some other corporation. Maybe you go and buy shares in General Motors or IBM. I mean, it's a question of finding out what's important to you.
Not to us, but as a whole.
As a whole.
Mm-hmm. But I think everybody thinks the land is important. Right now it is, because, you know, land and heritage are the same, just about.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say.
You say land and heritage are the same. I think I know what you mean, but do you want to say a little more about that?
Well, you don't have the land to hunt on or the land to build your house on, you know, call your own. To go camping on. I don't really know how to say it myself, but that's what I feel. It's land and heritage. The same. If you don't have the land, you can't go around telling people, this is where I'm from. You know, and there's nothing there.
You're a shareholder in...
Ecton, yes.
And... Are you working for Ecotin?
Not now.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks. Any other questions?
Nope. But I'm glad you guys are doing this reviewing, because, you know, you're trying to straighten out some mistakes, I think. That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And there may be some mistakes in the Alaska Native land claims deal, but I think back then in the 1970s, the Native people weren't prepared to run a corporation, and now we're getting to where we can. We do understand what's going on, and I don't think, you know, the people want to make any mistakes again. So we appreciate you guys being here.
Well,
that's how I feel
much.
About it.
We're glad we came.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
My name is Teresa Mercer. I'm a non-shareholder, but I have lived out here for a few years and have made some observations. Historically, it seems, though, that a lot of times the people out here have been taken advantage of terribly bad by non-Native people, and I would like to know what you think are what protection the Natives have from big corporations and other very powerful people that have lots of money and powerful lawyers protect the Natives from the loopholes that are in the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. I know there's got to be loopholes. If the book's this big and we don't understand it all, there's got to be a lot of loopholes that other big companies and corporations could find to get the valuable land that the corporations own. What do you see as being our protection? Are you part of that protection in this review commission, or what do we have that can really protect everybody from the loopholes?
Well, I suppose that after 1991 nobody sells their shares, then nobody can take over the corporation. But your land could still be taxed. Your corporation could still go bankrupt. I mean, it's doing very well, I gather, but some village corporations around the state aren't doing so well, you know. Some regional corporations are not doing well. And some Native corporations have already come very, very close to bankruptcy. And if they do, they lose their land. Well, how can you protect yourselves? Congress set it up so that the only way you could protect yourselves would be by making a profit, and even then they thought, well, that would make your shares even more attractive to outsiders who wanted to buy them. And you see, their idea was a quite different one. They thought it was a good thing if you sold your shares and outsiders became owners of this land. Then Native people would use that money to acquire shares in businesses in Anchorage and in Fairbanks and other places, and everybody's property would kind of get all merged. It would be there would be no difference between Native land and everybody else's land. Native communities would become more like other communities. Now, that was their idea, and they thought it was a good idea, and they thought it was the best thing for Native people. We now find Native people say, no, we don't think that's a good idea. So how do you protect the thing I was just saying to the mayor and to Mr. Pelkey and to June McGlashan, that the ideas that are coming up fall into several categories. One is that you could ask Congress to pass a law that no native person can sell his shares, or to pass a law that if he sells his shares to a non-native, the non-native can't have the right to vote in the corporation. Another idea, and a lot of villages support this idea, is to have the village corporation transfer its land to the local IRA government or traditional council, which would then hold the land, and it couldn't be taken over by some outsiders, and its assets, its land, couldn't be taxed. Now, that's another possibility. And then I was telling the people at Unalaska last night that the native people in the Arctic regions of Canada have just begun to settle their claims, and they have come to Alaska and they've looked at your settlement and they've tried to make improvements on it. So they, for instance, have in their settlement, and the Eskimos of the Mackenzie Delta just reached a settlement last month with the government of Canada, and they got land in fee simple, but the villages got both the surface and the subsurface. They came here and they said, we don't like the way it's divided up here, surface and subsurface, so the village gets the surface and the subsurface. They also have this trust arrangement so that the everybody is a member of the trust, and when you're born you become a member of the trust, when you die you cease to be a member of the trust, the children become members as the generations go on, and nobody can be a member except somebody born in that particular place or born to parents from that place. And the government of Canada has agreed that they will not tax the land unless it's developed. That is, unless they lease it to the oil companies and they start making a lot of money out of oil, then they say they want their share and they'll tax it. But if it's used for subsistence, they won't tax it. And they've agreed they will never tax it. It isn't just for 20 years, they said they will never do it. Now, that's because they've had the advantage of looking at your settlement and saying, well, we don't want to have all these problems that 1991 creates, so we don't want that Alaskan settlement. The Indians of the state of Maine reached a settlement with the United States just 2 years ago, and they wanted to protect their land in perpetuity. So they said, we don't want a shareholding corporation. We'll have our tribal organizations hold the land. And the state of Maine agreed they wouldn't tax the land. So those are some of the things that other people are doing to protect their land. I'm going around to find out what people here want to do. Congress thought that you would all become businessmen and shareholders, and you would want to sell your shares, get the money, buy shares in other corporations, go out and buy other land, and generally merge yourselves with the non-native population of Alaska. That's what they thought this whole thing should do. And now they may have been wrong, and every village I've been to thinks they were wrong. So how do you get out of this mess? I guess that's the question. And I want to know how people feel about all this, and I will make recommendations in my report about what you should do to straighten this out.
So basically, your recommendations will go back to the Inuit Sukum Polar Committee. They will take your recommendations and then try to go to Congress to get changes made. And if Congress doesn't agree, then forget it. 1991's the same.
Well,
How are those changes that you're recommending going to come about? Will they be successful, do you think, or?
Well, no one's got a crystal ball to foretell the future. My report will go to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, but they've agreed to make it public. So as soon as they get it, they will make it public. And we will send copies to you here, to the president of the corporation, the mayor, and so on. And in it, I will set out what we think ought to be done. Now, the Inuit Circumpolar Conference has consultative status with the United Nations in New York. They will no doubt take it to the United Nations. They may take it to Congress. It'll be up to you. I'll send it to the Aleut Corporation and all these other groups, United Tribes of Alaska, the AFN. And then it's up to you to decide what to do. You'll still have 6 years till 1991. And you can go to Congress and you can say, look, this guy traveled all over Alaska. I've been to 33 villages and towns. Before I'm through, I'll probably have been to 50. You can say he went all over the state. He listened to what the people had to say. Here are his recommendations. We think that he knows what he's talking about, so we think this is what you ought to do. Now, if I can help you by doing that, that's what I want to do. Now, what will Congress do? They've already changed ANCSA three times. If you go to them and want it changed and you've got a good case, then I suppose they will change it again. It's not, ANCSA isn't the Bible. It isn't written in stone. It's not something that can never be changed. It's just a law. Congress passed it. Congress can repeal it. But it's really up to Alaska Natives to decide what they want to do.
Okay, so the recommendations are going to go to them and really to everybody. And then the corporations are going to have to get together to decide what they want to present to Congress to have changed as a group?
Yeah, the corporations
or individual
and the
corporations, and the
IRA governments and the traditional councils, all the Native organizations, it seems to me.
We'll have to have a big meeting and then decide.
Well, I don't know if they can decide whether they're going to have a big meeting or not. I'm not telling them what to do. I just want to listen to what people have to say. Then I'll write my report. I'm from Canada. I spent 3 years in the Canadian Arctic. And I traveled to all the Native villages to hear about the land claims in the Canadian Arctic. And I wrote a report for the Government of Canada. I sent it to every village, every person who had testified. And all the Native organizations had it, the government had it, the public had it, they all thought about it and they agreed, this is more or less the best way to handle these problems. And some of the Native leaders in Alaska knew of what I had done in Canada, and that's why they asked me to come here, I think. But I'm not here to tell you to have a meeting or to do this or
no,
do that.
No, I realize that. I'm just kind of looking down the road. If they want the changes made, then just trying to see, well, how is it going to come about? If there's changes that are going to be made by 1991 before then, it seems like what Jacob Stepitin said, there's a lot that has to be done in a short amount of time.
Well, look, this is 1984, and you've got 7 years.
Well, things seem to move pretty slowly sometimes, though. But that's all. Thank you.
Oh, excuse me. How long have you been here, did you say? Oh, I see. Well, would some of the older folks who remember what it was like before land claims like to say a word?
You're all tongue-tied.
Well, we can... Yes, sir.
My name's John Brennan, and I was wondering about that patented land, like up the old whaling station, and the Trident, and the old pot storage areas up there. Some people came here quite a few years ago before the war, then they got that land and everything, and they surveyed it and sent it out to the Bureau of Land Management, I guess. And a lot of the old people around here, you know, they didn't know anything about getting their land surveyed or anything like that, you know, and whatever they lived on or used on, that was theirs, you know. They considered that theirs. And after the whaling station closed down and everything, and they still had that land, you know, the person that bought it or had it surveyed and taken care of, he went ahead and sold it or leased it to somebody else and kept leasing it and leasing it. And we never got anything out of that, you know, so we couldn't even get any money from that. And the guy who did it, he picked out all the best land, you know, that could be made use of. And the rest of the stuff around here now, up the head of the bay and everything, that's all, probably all taken care of too, you know. And everything that's any good now, it's not, I don't think there's anything good left for leasing or anything.
Did anybody, you know? Did any people in this village get native allotments, 160 acres, before
then? I don't know.
Native allotments were abolished when they brought in the land claim settlement in 1971, but before that, Native people could apply to get a certificate of title from the federal government for 160 acres of land that they were using for fishing or hunting or had their house on.
But a lot of the old people didn't even know about that, you know. How they probably couldn't even read or write, half of them. And
You don't know of any native allotments around here?
Not that I know.
Yeah.
Did your grandpa ever have any land surveyed or anything up there before land claims deal? I don't know of anybody around here that did. They just, that's our land, you know, and then everything else started and the government comes and say, yeah, this, you got this part here and that part there, you know. So many acres for all the people in your corporation, you know, the village corporation.
So the land outside the village, the only native land outside the village is native corporation land.
He's talking about an outside person who has title to patented land.
Oh, I know, I understand that, yeah. But that's why I asked about allotments. If there were no allotments, then apart from any restricted deeds for home sites here, the only native land around here would be corporation land. That's all.
Mm. I'm just thinking out loud, I guess.
There's no way that you could do anything about that, though, I guess, or what, about trying to get that land back that they got already, or it'd probably...
Oh, if he had the land patented, it's his land. He might sell it.
That was non-native, though. You know, they knew a lot of more stuff than we did in them days, I guess.
Sure.
And he probably could have claimed whole Lactan Island, you know, and we'd never know about it until the land claims. Like, yeah, that's my land. It's all patented right there. Then he'd probably throw us off or chase us on to another island or something.
Well,
I don't know what you can do about that, but that's all I have to say anyway.
Okay. Well, that's. Thank you. Well, would any of the folks at the back like to speak? I notice You have Bob Arnold's book on land claims. I guess you've been studying it. Anything you'd like to say? We can bring the microphone back there where you are. Sure.
George McGlass name. You want to know what the changes was before the corporation? 1971, a lot of changes made. I grew up in this village, like John Brin talking about that land up there. These old people didn't know what a corporation was or didn't know what these people were doing here. Anytime we went when we was up the bay, we can put a little house there, camp house. Nowadays, you go up there and a guy look at you, what you doing here? That's how we grew up around here. Like I say, these old people didn't know what a corporation was. People moved in here, we gonna make you a corporation. I didn't even know. These old people still don't know what a corporation is, I don't think. Like you were talking about all these selling, buying. We never thought of that. We had chiefs in this village. First chief, second chief, third chief. If there was anything wrong, we went to the chief. And the chief would tell the second chief. The second chief would tell the third chief. You could tell that guy what to do. Nowadays, you look, want to get something done, they look at you, wonder what you're talking about. Is that why a corporation is made?
Well, in the old days, the people ran this place themselves, and you had a chief. Was there a traditional council, or...
Yes, that's right. And yeah, like I say, something went wrong, we went to the chief. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. It was done. The guy had to get out of bed to do it. Any problems, you went to the chief. He called all the village together. Now, something happened, the corporation have a meeting. Who shows up? Nobody. Before, it used to, everybody in the village, everybody, young and old, came to the meetings. They had a chief. Chief, second and third. Of course, the third, he was a little stoolie. He goes on, did everything.
Did the dirty work.
They did the dirty work. If that wasn't right, then the chief moved in. See, that's the way it was before in this village. 1971, after I seen changes. I've seen changes after 1971. People didn't know what they were talking about. But before that, we knew what the chief was talking about. We had sidewalk to put in. We didn't get paid for it. We put it in, dug it in. Same with the freighters come in. We didn't get paid for handling cargo. Snow and blowing, we go out there with our dories. Nowadays, they get paid for it. I've seen a lot of changes since the corporation came in 1971. I don't think I'm the only one that recognized, but I think other people do. Like I say, the old people don't want corporation. You can tell them about a corporation, they just look at you. Because it wouldn't explain to them with evaluate or anything. Like myself, what is a corporation? There's a lot of changes made. We never had these fangled buildings like these put in. Offices, people coming and tell us, we're going to do this and do that. No, the chief was doing all our work. He was our boss man in these villages. Any village, all these villages. Like I say, 1971, I've seen a lot of changes after 1971. Now I ask you, well, I got a house there. Somebody come bought this corporation, what would I do with that house? I wouldn't have no more property, would I?
Well, I think you have title now to your lands here in the village. The mayor has stepped out, but maybe he could tell us about that.
That land was donated to housing authority.
That's a change right there, see?
Yeah, at the end of your payment period.
Yeah, we probably owe debt and gone by the time we paid up all that house payments.
Probably
true. Yeah. I mean, like that, see, that's... I never seen anything like it. Because I'm born and raised here, and take a dory and go out and fish, come back. There's no fishing game looking at you down your neck. And all of a sudden these people moves in. We're going to tell you this. They're going to do this and that. Where is it? There's nothing been done. Like when I grew up, something said it was done. Like I said, it didn't matter if it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They come up your door and knock, hey, get up, we got to do this. We did, got up. If you didn't show up, it'd ask you why. That's all was said. Nowadays, people all come in airplanes, briefcases, stuff like that. Nobody can say anything. Like these people sitting here. There's old people, older than me. They sit there and wonder what's going on. Because the young people, they're just now growing up.
Well, they look all right to
me. Yeah, they look all right, but I mean, you know. And you come and ask them what a corporation, but they wouldn't know. I mean, that's the changes I've seen since 1971. I seen it changing gradually. You know,
yeah.
Like I say, we never had people like you coming in here, briefcases, microphones sit in front of us. No, we never seen that. Only microphone we had was a chief. He called his house, he didn't have a microphone to talk. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, we had that old man here, if he can hear and everything, I think we would have heard more about it. But can't hear or not, you know. Well, that's all I got to say anyhow.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McGlashan. Isn't. Oh. I understand. Is there a village council now? There's a city. There's a corporation. Is there a village council, a tribal council, an IRA, whatever you call it? Could somebody come and tell me a little bit about that? Where is it? Is it functioning? Who's on it?
It's not functioning.
Well...
Xenia Brennan. There is a traditional council, but it's not as strong as it used to be. Like George was saying, they used to have chiefs, and that went when my Uncle Luke died a couple of years ago. Everything just kind of died with him.
What was your uncle's name?
Luke Shelikoff. We exist, the traditional council exists, but like I said, it's not as strong as it was before. The issue on kids born after 1991, I'm concerned about. If they could amend the ANCSA, put that in somehow, because they're... The old people that were here after 1991 and that are gone now, their children and grandchildren, we're as much as a victim. We don't know that much about, I'm a little bit familiar with ANCSA, but I'd like to get into it more.
You mentioned the children born since 1971 and it should be changed, you mean so that they could be part of it?
Yeah. I know they could inherit it when their parents die or something, but some aren't that lucky. I mean, they don't, you know, the kids that were born after 1971, if there's some way they could fix it.
Right. Well, that's a point that people have raised everywhere I've gone, so I certainly will be looking at that. That's a very important point.
As far as the traditional council, I don't have that much to say. It just kind of died. We're still there, but we don't have as much power as we did before the corporation became in effect. But they were really strong before then. They made all the plans and everything, like there's first, second, third chief. And
how were the chiefs chosen? Were they elected or were they hereditary?
They were elected. My Uncle Luke's been in there for ages. He was like, he came up from third chief. He was in there like for 11 years, and then he got second chief for so many, or 28 years he was third chief, and then 11 years second chief and third chief he was there for, up until he died a couple years ago. But I seen a lot of changes as I was growing up. The culture doesn't seem to be there anymore. A little bit of it is there, but it's sad to see it go, but what else? I think the people should be made aware of what ANCSA is. If someone would briefly explain what it is. I'm sure there's some of them here right now, you know, that they know it has something to do with land, but, you know, that's it. If someone could briefly explain what ANCSA is, I think, you know, they'd become more involved.
Well, let me give a 2-minute explanation of ANCSA, of the land claim settlement. What happened in 1971 was that Congress decided that they would settle all the land claims of the native people in Alaska. So they arranged that Alaska Natives would receive 44 million acres. That's about 10% of the land area of Alaska. And they also provided that they would receive $962.5 million. But they didn't turn the land and the money over to the traditional councils or the IRA governments. They didn't want to do that. They said, we will turn the land over to profit-making corporations. So you have to set up a corporation in your village to get your land. And that's why you set up a corporation here. You had no choice. And there are 200 corporations set up in villages all over the state, and 12 regional corporations, like the Aleut Regional Corporations. And the corporations got the land and the money. And you get some of the money if your corporations pay dividends and send you a check. You don't have any of the land because the corporations have the land. That's why the land is in a sense at risk, because corporations can go broke. After 1991, outsiders can try to buy up the shares and take over the corporations and in that way take over the land. The land the corporations hold could be taxed. That's what ANCSA is all about. It said, here's your land, but then it said, 20 years later, you've got to fight to keep it. That's what ANCSA really is.
I didn't understand George when he said something about, okay, the houses that HUD has here now, that land wouldn't belong to the person until after the house is paid off. Who does it belong to before then? Did they have something to do with the corporation too? How did you guys do that?
I wasn't involved in it.